Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, joined by Inside Texas's Jerry Hamilton. Jerry and I are going to talk today, a little Sunday edition, special discussion on the top 10 recruiting wins for Steve Sarkisian in his three-year term with the Longhorns. Jerry, you know, you and I talked about this offline, which is leading to this video. We had some animated thoughts about it, but one thing's for sure, you and I agreed on the top two spots. We both thought Arch Manning and Quinn Ewers, by far the two most impactful signings for Steve Sarkisian, right?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think there's any question about it. Manning's pretty obvious, right? The Manning family is a part of the University of Texas. Now, it's a big stamp of approval for Steve Sarkisian that Archie, Peyton, Eli, Cooper all signed off on Archie going to Texas. That is a big win for Steve Sarkisian. And I think the Manning's impact on the University of Texas football and University of Texas athletics, I don't even think we know where that can go if he ends up being as good a player as people believe, me included, believe he will be. Quinn, I thought, was easy choice for number two because, look, this quarterback position was unstable, Texas, when Sarkisian got in. He was an official visit weekend, and he left an official visit weekend to go to Southlake to meet with Quinn Ewers and his family. That tells you how big of a recruit that was for Steve Sarkisian. And it was also a Texas five-star kid coming back home from Ohio State, which had had a lot of recruiting success in Texas, starting with Urban Meyer, even before that, but had some huge recruiting wins when Texas was kind of flailing about as a program. All that together made Quinn Ewers an easy choice for number two. And look, we're also going off of what Sark says, it's the most important position on his football team. So those are the two most important guys for the next 5 years of Texas football.
I agree with you at Manning one and Ewers two. Ewers' commitment came at a time where there was still some uncertainty too surrounding Sark. You know, he hadn't really gotten started yet. He had a 5-7 campaign. Was he going to be able to recruit a big name quarterback? We didn't know that for sure yet because he hadn't done it. When he grabbed Ewers, I think that cemented the fact that, yes, this guy can recruit and he can recruit the big name guys. With Manning, I think that, you know, he was the number one recruit in the country his year. And he also came aboard at a time that Texas was 5-7. And furthermore, I think that he helped lead an entire class into Austin, and he helped recruit those guys. So that's why I gave him the nod over. That's why both of us gave Manning the nod over yours. Where you and I started to disagree, I think, is interesting. Basically, our 3 through 10, there are mostly the same names, Jerry, but a lot of differences. You went with Cedric Baxter all the way up at number 3. Why'd you do that?
Well, mine was pretty simple on this one. The number one running back in the country, coming from the state of Florida, has never signed with Texas, has never even been a thought that he got the number one running back would sign. Think about the running backs that have come through Florida since you and I have been in the business. Not once was a guy ever even talked about with the University of Texas. They were all Florida, Florida State, Miami, Alabama, Georgia. I think that is something that's never been done in the history of Texas football. The number one running back in the country from Florida coming to Texas. Two, I think that really stamped Sarkisian's hire of Tashard Choice. I think that was a very strong indication that he made a great hire in Tashard Choice. Tashard Choice had a relationship with Baxter, went into Florida, and took the number one running back in the country out of Orlando. And three, I don't think this happens if Texas isn't moving to the SEC, period. Even if Tashard Choice is there, I don't think this happens. I think Florida State might have ended up being Baxter's pick in that scenario. So I thought that was a huge win for Texas. Again, and Texas they want to become a national recruiting power moving to the SEC. And they got two of those guys in this class, Arch Manning and Baxter, the first number one recruit since Vince Young at Texas signs with Texas and Manning. First running back, number one ranked running back outside the state of Texas to sign with Texas in my years doing this.
Bijan.
You don't know. Bijan. 2 years ago. Yeah, Florida for sure. Yep.
Yep. I think that we look at it together, Jerry. And yep. I think Baxter was an enormously impactful recruit. But your number four, I think, is good could have well been a number two or even three. You could argue Kelvin Banks and what his decommitment from Oregon and eventual commitment to Texas led to, simply because he was kind of the linchpin of that offensive line class that Texas built and is really, you know, one of the strengths of the team as we look forward into the next two or three years of the program.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. The reason I went with him at four is it took Mario Cristobal leaving for that to happen. So as far as the recruiting win, I kind of knocked that down a notch because it took a coach leaving for that to actually happen. I think Banks was thinking about it because now that people know what we were kind of hinting about on Inside Texas, why we picked Texas, Eric and Alina and myself went so hard on Texas initially, was the mom's medical condition. And that was a known thing privately. It wasn't publicly at the time. And I think that caught the Summer Creek staff off, totally off guard when that kid went to Oregon. But I think if Mario Cristobal doesn't leave, that was still a struggle for Texas. I think things were in motion. But as far as the player, man, best left – he's going to be the first-round pick at left tackle, barring the unforeseen since what, Leonard Davis? I mean, maybe I'm missing somebody, but
– Mike Williams.
Yeah,
Mike Williams, you know, those guys. Look, it's interesting. Those Banks was definitely just that big-name recruit that Texas needed at the right time. Kyle Flood and Steve Sarkisian came through. Your next guys, 5 and 6, Anthony Hill and Terrence Brooks. I thought this was interesting. Two guys that were committed elsewhere but changed late in the year. Hill doing it not quite as late. Terrence Brooks doing it on signing day from Ohio State. Hill, you ranked higher, not necessarily because he's a better prospect than Terrence Brooks, but probably because he decommitted from Texas A&M.
No question. I mean, if you think back to when Sarkisian was hired at Texas, you know, Jimbo Fisher went 9-1, COVID-shortened season, whatever. They were ranked top five in the AP poll. That matters in recruiting. They signed the number one class in 2022. They had the momentum in the state of Texas. Anybody that questions that wasn't paying attention to recruiting, they had it. They were actually starting to become a little bit of a cool school in state and a little bit in the Southeast region. But then when that A&M season went south, some issues in the program started to pop up, right? When Anthony Hill decommitted, it became a must-win recruit for Texas. The worst-case scenario was if that kid decommitted and back at A&M. That would have been bad for Texas. That didn't happen. He ends up in the Texas class, and that's the reason I gave him the nod there is, like you said, it's nothing to do with the player. It's the momentum. It's the perception. It's the scenario. That was a huge win for Texas. Also, all the work, the staff, Chris Gilbert, when he was there, who had done a DFW to kind of regain DFW, that kind of completed it in that class. That doesn't mean, you know, anybody else doesn't play into that, but Jonte Cook, Malik Muhammad, Anthony Hill, you go down that list of guys, Samaje Burrell, but really those three real big names in that class, they got them all. And I think that Texas is now the team being talked about in football and basketball because of Ron Holland to a certain extent along I-20 and south of Dallas.
You put Derek Williams and Sadir Mitchell in there as well. Mitchell, you know, I almost feel like he was a bigger recruit than many people recognized because Texas beat Georgia, Texas A&M, Florida, everybody else for a guy out of New Jersey. You know, you talk about Cedric Baxter. In some ways, it's harder to sign a defensive lineman than a running back from the South and away from Southern programs. And I know Mitchell's from New Jersey, but I tell you what, that was a big one. Then Derek Williams, you mentioned Arch Manning being number one ranked player in the state of Louisiana. Well, Derek Williams was ranked number two.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Sadir Mitchell was a huge win because I thought, again, who you beat, it's hard to go into New Jersey. How many guys has Texas signed from New Jersey? I mean, and my years doing this. But it also showed that Texas could be had national chops in recruiting. Bo Davis obviously is going to develop a relationship with any kid he comes in contact with. Kids love Bo. But Kyle Flood, former head coach at Rutgers from the area, New York, New Jersey area, he knew all the buttons to push. That recruitment, and that was one that Georgia was in on before Texas. You know, I mean, Alabama. He could have gone to Alabama if he wanted. I mean, look, he could have gone wherever he wanted. Auburn, Miami made a big run. Texas A&M, who had been getting guys on the defensive line out of Jersey. That showed Texas has national chops in the game for me. And it was at a large human on the defensive line position that you're building going into the SEC. I thought Derek Williams was huge. It's one thing to go up to Shreveport, Bossier City, Monroe, and take a top kid out of the state. I mean, Nick Saban's done it a lot. But when you go to South Louisiana, it's a different game. And to go to New Iberia and get Derek Williams over not just LSU, but Alabama, Texas A&M, then Miami made the big run late. But to beat those three schools was a huge win for Texas. And again, if Texas wasn't headed to the SEC like Cedric Baxter, I just don't know if Texas wins that recruitment at the end of the day. By the way, I didn't mention Terrence Brooks. That was huge because he flipped from Ohio State. And it kind of went in with Quinn Ewers at the time. Ohio State was a thorn in for Texas and Texas A&M recruiting in the state of Texas. To get Brooks to flip, no matter what the circumstance, Kerry Crooks eventually being gone, but to get Quinn Ewers and Terrence Brooks in the same class, that kind of stymied Ohio State and Texas a little bit.
Yeah, it did. All right, 9 and 10, DJ Campbell and Malik Muhammad. I think that I see why they're both back up in the Metroplex, and they're both highly competitive recruitments. Campbell over Oklahoma, which is the only one on this list really that was down to Texas and OU is DJ Campbell. And then Malik Muhammad was a direct win, not only over A&M, but also Alabama.
Yeah, DJ Campbell he'd been a Texas lean for so long. I think that would have been a big loss for Texas to take because he would have gone to Oklahoma. But again, Texas was trying to get a stronghold in DFW area. Texas was ahead of the game, and you give Chris Gilbert credit for this when he came on the staff, which was Jeff Banks' idea to hire him, but they knew the talent in the state was in Dallas in the next two or three cycles, and this stuff evens out, ebbs and flows, but right now, Dallas, Fort Worth is loaded, and that was one that was a must-win recruit for the whole way because you can't have a five-star offensive lineman be leaning to you for that long and then lose him to Oklahoma at the end, especially after that coaching change happened, but look, that was a kid that wanted to be at Texas. He was a big name because he'd been a five-star from the start to finish in the recruiting process. And look, some of that plays into this stuff for me too. I mean, like with the Cedric Baxter, Kelvin Banks, as talented as Kelvin Banks is, Cedric Baxter is a bigger name nationally in recruiting. So Texas could not lose DJ Campbell, Malik Muhammad. That one's pretty easy. Texas beat Nick Saban on a corner from the DFW area. The night before Malik Muhammad committed, Nick Saban was on the phone with him and his family for an hour trying to get him to postpone the commitment. That alone put Malik Muhammad 10, but it goes into, look at all the DFW guys on this list, Bobby. Quinn Ewers, Anthony Hill, Terrence Brooks, DJ Campbell, Malik Muhammad, half the list.
That's very revealing for sure. Hey, Matt, our producer, if you'll put up my list now, let's show people where we differ a little bit, Jerry, because you and I obviously we think a lot alike, but we're not always similar, right? Yeah. One name that I put Kelvin Banks at 3 over Cedric Baxter. I moved Baxter down the list a little bit simply because he plays a position that I think is, I don't want to say it's easier to recruit to. It's just not, look, Texas is going to get a good running back, right? And so it was one of those. At the same time, I think he's a terrific player. I put Kelvin Banks at 3 because of just what he meant and the timing of it. Anthony Hill, somewhat similar, really, because he helped do that. And then I added Xavier Worthy in at 5 because, really, he was his first big-name recruit because Worthy initially signed with Michigan out of high school. Michigan eventually released him, and he made a beeline to the University of Texas, and Sark had done a great job recruiting him while at Alabama. So I thought Xavier Worthy was maybe in that 5. I know he had a tough sophomore year, but he was probably the first big name, big play guy that Sark brought in. DJ Campbell, you and I talked about this one. I agree with you. He's in there. Sadir Mitchell for the same reason. You're talking about a big defensive lineman that everybody wanted, and Texas went halfway across the country to get him. Terrence Brooks and then Derek Williams rounding out the 10. I could have put Malik Muhammad in there, but I went with these two guys instead.
What I like about your list is Louisiana, California, New Jersey, Florida, Louisiana. I mean, that shows you where exactly where Texas wants the recruit under Steve Sarkisian.
California, and 5 stars in the state of Texas.
Footprint in California, big emphasis on the Southeast region. They've offered 60 guys from Louisiana to Florida to Georgia in the 2024 class, 60 already before spring evaluations. Xavier Worthy, people could say I easily missed on that one. I thought he got dinged for me. It was out of his control a little bit. He was kind of in during the COVID times. He didn't have senior track. He really didn't have senior football, right? I mean, so I think as talented as he was, he took a hit just as far as the recognition and what when he flipped to Texas, what younger prospects didn't necessarily say, oh my gosh, that's the reason I'm going to go to Texas. But that's so I probably unfairly dinged him on that.
Got it. All right. Top 10 biggest recruiting wins in Steve Sarkisian's tenure at the University of Texas, according to Jerry Hamilton and myself, Bobby Burton. Thanks for watching this special Sunday edition of On Texas Football.
Thank you for watching. For more videos on Texas football, recruiting, and other sports, make sure you click the like button and subscribe to the channel to get the very latest updates. Thank you for watching again, and hook 'em.